Revelation chapter number 4. Let's stand together, and we're just going to read one verse right now. Now, I know you're not used to this, but I do have notes. Okay? All right, if I was some fancy preacher preaching everywhere, I'd preach a message 100 times too. I wouldn't need notes. But these are new and fresh, and I have a lot of scripture today, and so I have notes, all right? Revelation chapter, so I'm not going to be standing down there telling a story. Don't expect any story. I'm going to be glued to the notes right here. All right, Revelation chapter number 4 and verse number 1, the Bible says, after this is after chapters 2 and 3, which we believe picture the church age, which is what we're in right now. I believe the church age is coming to a close. It's going to come to a close at the rapture. And John the Revelator said, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately, aren't you glad at the rapture, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, we're going to be out of here. And immediately, I was in the Spirit. Let's pray together. I want to preach this morning on this title, Heaven is Sounding Sweeter All the Time. Heaven is sounding sweeter all the time. Just got to thinking about the world today and the craziness in our world, from the hurricane down in Louisiana to the flooding in the Northeast, the flooding in Tennessee they had a few weeks ago, the fires out in California, the earthquakes out in Hawaii and places like that recently having those type of occurrences. Think about those poor people left behind in Afghanistan who are facing a bunch of brutal murderers that ought to be, those murderers of Taliban ought to be lined up and shot before we left them there. I think about what they're going through. I think about what we're going through in our country right now, and such a division in our country and such a craziness coming from the White House. And I think about, and thank God for Texas this week and the abortion law that went into effect. But you know, I think about what's going on even in our own homes with your health, with your bills, with, you know, you name it. And I just thought, I just couldn't get my mind off. Heaven is sounding sweeter all the time. Let's pray together. Lord, would you bless this message? I pray that you encourage the heart of every believer in here today. And I pray, God, that if there's one in here that does not know Christ as their personal Savior, looking back in their life, there is not a moment where that was the point where they got born again. I pray that, God, today, this morning, would be the day they would accept Christ as their personal Savior, and that they, too, would be able to enjoy what we're about to talk about here in just a moment. So, bless, I pray, work as only you can. I pray you'll work in our children's church and our bus church today. Work in those hearts, and we'll thank you for what you'll do, and we'll ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You could be seated. Tonight, we're going to talk about the fact that we're living in perilous times. The Bible says, this know also that in the latter days, perilous times shall come, dangerous times, hurtful times. You and I are living today in God-hating times. We're living in Bible-hating times when they can leave women and children and Americans to be murdered in Afghanistan, but they want to complain about the fact that we're trying to protect babies in Texas. I don't really want to hear what their opinion is on much of anything. We're living in crazy times where people are denying God. They're denying the Bible. But even though we know that the world is getting worse, we also realize as Bible believers that the return of Christ is getting closer. I want to look at several passages today. 1 John chapter 2. And so it's going to kind of be slow in the beginning. We're going to kind of do a Bible study, a doctrinal study, because I want you to see these end time verses. And then we'll get to some points that'll be kind of that motivating, what I'm looking forward to in heaven. But 1 John chapter number 2. And look at verse number 17. All right, the Bible says, and the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. little children, it is the last time. Now, this was written 2,000 years ago, and they said it was the last time. We're living in the last hours, I believe, today. He said, and as you have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. All right, so there's one Antichrist going to come during the tribulation period, but there are many anti-Jesus people in the world even today. The Bible says they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Have you realized how many people are dropping out of church in the last year or two or three or four? It's heartbreaking number. Verse 20, but you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. By the way, anyone who says that it's that Christ is not the only way to heaven, they are a Christ denier, period. Oprah Winfrey did that years ago. And there are preachers who preach truth for years, and in their latter years, they begin to say, well, you know, the Muslims have a way and the Catholics have a way. Friend, Jesus said there is no other way but then through Him. So if you don't believe Christ is the only way to heaven, you are anti-Christ. You're anti the work of the Messiah, which was to come and die for our sin on the cross of Calvary. It goes on to say in verse 24, let that therefore abide in you, which you have heard from the beginning. If that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that He hath promised us. You could say amen right here. Even eternal life. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. Right. Our religion, our faith in Christ, our belief in eternal life in a place called heaven, that's not a crutch to get us through this life, because just a thought like that wouldn't get you through this life. There has to be a strong faith, something in you that says, hey, listen, this can't be all there is. It goes on to say, these things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you, those that would want to lead you astray. But the anointing which you have received of Him abideth in you, and you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, you shall abide in Him. Speaking of the Spirit of God dwelling within us, helping us to learn and realize the truths of the Bible. And now, little children, abide in Him. What does that mean? Stay close. That means don't get out of church. That means stay in the Bible. That means get as close to God as you've ever been, because we're coming down to the end. The Bible says, now little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, not if He shall appear, but that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. You say, I've heard this stuff all of my life, that Jesus is coming back. I don't know if it's true, preacher. All right, look at 2 Peter chapter number 3. You're in 1 John, just turn left. 2 Peter chapter number 3, one page. The Bible says this in 2 Peter 3. By the way, for all of my 46, nearly 47 years, I've heard the same truth, and I still believe today that today could be the day that Jesus comes back. The Bible says in 2 Peter 3, in verse number 3, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. They're saying, you know, is He really coming back? People say He is, but they say that he is, and then they just die. We've heard this all of our life. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, all right, the same word where God said, go, and the floods flooded the earth in Noah's day, that same word of God is all that's keeping the rapture back. The Bible says the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us. We're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants people to be saved. It could be that you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, and you tried to fill your life with all kinds of everything else, but what you need the most is you need to be born again. And it could just be you're the last person saved before the trumpet sounds. If that's the case, can I just say to you, please hurry up. Verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come. Now this is going to mix in some after rapture times and tribulation and the Lord coming back when we come back with him at the millennial reign of Christ. But I want to give you just this big picture. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, that's you and me, that's born again children of God, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Look at 2 Thessalonians, if you would. You got to move a little bit more to the left there. It's Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Thessalonians. And look at 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. All right, so God says we ought to be looking for his appearing. God said in 1 John we ought to be abiding in him so that when Christ does come back, we're not ashamed before him at his appearing. By the way, all those excuses we like to give to preachers and parents and everyone else, those excuses aren't going to fly at the judgment seat of Christ. We need to get right with God and stay right with God. But it tells us in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 1, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. See, when Christ comes back, we're all who are saved are going to gather with him in the sky. He says that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. All right, he's telling them in that day, don't listen to the crowd that says Jesus somehow has already come back and the day of Christ is at hand. Because the day of Christ, that term means the beginning of it is at the rapture. The end of it is at the return of Christ for the millennial reign. So if they believe that the day of Christ is at hand, they're thinking it's all going on right now. And he's trying to say, no, 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 the rapture has not taken place. You didn't miss the boat. The rapture hasn't taken place yet. Look at verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come. Wait a minute. You want a good sign? The rapture's near. For that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. Look around you real quick. I'm dead serious. Look at these pews. I realize we have sickness. I realize we have vacation and things like that. Brother Trent, when is a preacher ever going to get up and say, hey, the house of God is filled. No more reasons. No more excuses. Are we ever going to get back to that? Oh, my preacher friends, listen, if you talk to a preacher, he'll tell you the truth. And he's not afraid to tell you that churches may be having lower attendance. They'll tell you that it's just not picking back up yet after the virus. And I pray that it will. And I hope that it will. And my prayer at my desk this morning was, God, would you pour out your blessings again? And God, I'm not ignoring what you have done and what you are doing. But there's such a great need to get your people back to the house of God today without excuse. Even when we used to travel, we used to go to church, and now we'll sit in our pajamas and be fed from our pastor and say, God, I'm gonna, this is your day. Hey, if it was God's day, I'd get up and get to church on Sunday morning. But I'm telling you, the Lord's coming back, and every single one of us in this room are going to stand before him. He goes on to say here that that day shall not come except there be a come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. That's speaking of the Antichrist. By the way, he doesn't have to go stand up at some lectern somewhere and reveal himself in order to be revealed. The Antichrist could be alive and well today. And by the way, don't try to guess who he is. Because in the 90s, we thought he was Hillary Clinton. And then we thought it was Obama, and then we thought he was, you know, don't try to guess who the Antichrist is, but the Bible says there'll be a great falling away. It goes on to explain verse 4 about this Antichrist who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember you not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. Listen, this is slow, this is doctrinal, but I want you to get this about the end times. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. That's the antichrists that John talked about. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. See, what is withholding the Antichrist from doing his work, what is withholding the tribulation period from occurring is he in that passage, and he is the Holy Spirit of God. How is he going to be taken out of the way? Listen, when we are taken out of the way, because your body and mine is a temple of the Holy Ghost of God. When the rapture takes place, verse 8, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness. Now wait a minute, you need to get this right here. Because there is a crowd that teaches that if you're not saved, but you heard the gospel and you sat in church, then as soon as the tribulation period starts, then you'll realize, oh, this stuff's real. And you'll run to a church somewhere and you'll fall at an altar and you'll say, oh, God, save me. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches very clearly that if you have heard the gospel message in your life and the rapture occurs, which could be at any moment, and the rapture occurs, friend, listen, there is no more chance for you to be saved. Look what happens in verse 10, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Remember, God's not willing that any should perish. Why would they perish? Because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Verse 11, and for this cause. What's that next? Who's that person there? What's that name? God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. That means those who hear the gospel but refuse to turn to Christ. You want your sin more than you want a Savior. The Bible says the moment the rapture takes place, God is going to put in your mind to believe whatever the Antichrist tells you. And when they get up and they say, well, you know, another disease has stricken this nation and it's causing people to just disappear, or the aliens have come. There is another life out there and NASA's looking for it and all of these people have just disappeared. The Bible says if you heard a clear-cut gospel message all of your life but would not receive Christ as your Savior, you will believe that story. Why? God tells us right here. Verse 12, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Well, preacher, I know I need to be saved, but right now I don't know that I want to be saved because I kind of got my life going on. Had pleasure in unrighteousness. Well, I don't want to be saved because I don't want to have to tell my friends that I'm no longer that type of person. And the Bible says one day the rapture is going to occur and God's going to send strong delusion. You won't even know what happened. I don't know about you, but heaven is sounding sweeter all the time. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I told you kind of slow in the beginning, but we might as well read what the Bible actually says instead of having our own ideas and thoughts on how things are going to go down here in the end. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. Look at verse number 13. Paul says this to the Christians at Thessalonica. He said, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. Have you ever seen those funerals in the Middle East where they're all dressed in black? And nothing wrong with wearing black to a funeral, but they're all dressed and they're weeping and they're wailing and they're carrying that casket on their shoulder. And have you ever been to a funeral here where someone was saved and there's tears, but there's also laughter and there's hope? Why? Because we sorrow, but we don't sorrow as those which have no hope. I love it. He says here in verse number 14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. Remember what John the Revelator said? He said, I heard a voice as it were a trumpet. He said, in the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. I find great comfort in that. Friend, listen to me. Here's what's going to happen. We share it at funerals all the time. We might as well share it on a happy occasion, not just a sad occasion. But one of these days, the rapture is going to take place. And the Bible says this. It says that those that died in Christ, they're going to rise up out of that grave. And the Bible says the dead in Christ shall rise first. But it also says that those that are asleep, those that died in Christ, shall God bring with him. That tells us that somebody that died, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. They're not being held in a pit. They are home with God today. But one day that soul and spirit that Ecclesiastes said is going to return to the God who gave it, and that body will return to the dust. God's going to raise up that body just like he raised up Adam out of the dirt in the Garden of Eden. And it's going to be a new body, an immortal body, an incorruptible body. It cannot sin. It cannot get sick. It cannot die. Aren't you glad? You don't want to face this stuff anymore. And those bodies are going to rise up. And here's the thing, Gabriel. If you and me are standing outside here in the driveway, and all of a sudden we start seeing over there at White Rose Cemetery, pew, 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 and we're going, woo, hang on, buddy. It's about to be a fast flight. Actually, we won't think that because it's going to be so quick. It's going to be just like that. And we always say, and we sing it, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that's going to be. But the Bible says we're going to meet one another in the clouds. Amen. In the clouds, in the air. This year be 10 years. It has been 10 years since Brother Pope went to heaven. 10 years. I think it was April of 2011. It was 10 years since Brother Pope, Brother Benner went to heaven the same week that Brother Pope did. Kara went to heaven 2 months later in June. It's been 10 years. They've been laying there for a while now. Don't let this nonsense you watch on TV, all this Day of the Dead, Night of the Dead, whatever all this junk is. Christians shouldn't be watching nonsense anyways. All that craziness. Those people not roaming around here. Those people are in heaven. Those that are saved. One day that body's going to rise up. And we don't have to wait till we get to heaven. The Bible says we're going to meet one another in the clouds. I find great comfort in knowing that Jesus could come back for us at any moment. His apostles were a little down because Jesus told them he was about to leave them. But you know what Jesus told them. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. He said, I know you're troubled. I know you're concerned. By the way, I know you and I today in the world we're living in, we're a little troubled. We're a little concerned. We're thinking, what's going to happen next? What happens before Christ comes back? But you know what? There is hope for a child of God. We find hope. We find our hope in a person. Jesus said, you believe in God, believe also in me. We find our hope in a place. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I'd go to prepare a place for you. I like that song, How Beautiful Heaven Must Be. Sweet home of the happy and free. Fair haven of rest for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be. Hey, we find our hope in a promise. Jesus said, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And we find our hope in a plan, right? We don't have to guess whether or not we're getting to heaven. Jesus said to those disciples, whither I go, you know the way, you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. My question to you today is, do you find your hope in Christ Jesus? Do you know that you know that you know that you've been saved? We don't find our hope in a church. We don't find our hope in a baptism. We don't find our hope in our good works. We don't find our hope in tradition. There is no one in here good enough to get to heaven on your own. And by the way, there's no one in here bad enough to be kept out of heaven. Because there's only one way to go to heaven, and that's Christ alone. I want to tell you this morning, we don't know a lot about heaven. You can read Revelation 21 and 22, and it gives somewhat of a picture of its beauty and that city coming down from God out of heaven. And I believe personally that part of heaven is going to be back here on earth. There is going to be a new earth one day where there's no more seas. The meek shall inherit the earth. I think the earth is, there's going to be somewhat of heaven is going to be somewhat on earth. That city is coming down. That city, if you measure it out, we've done this before here. Remember years ago I had that globe and I put a golden box on it to give you, it was to scale to give you an idea. And that city that he talks about is as far as from here to Los Angeles, California, from here up to Chicago, Illinois, and then you take that length and go up, and it's the same 1,500 miles up that way. Also, it's just an amazing the city itself. Friend, listen. So we read about a little bit of that in Revelation 21 and 22. But here, for just a few minutes before we go, I just want to use what we do know. We don't know a lot about heaven. But I want to use what we do know to tell you what I love about heaven. All right, let me give them to you quickly. Number one is this. Heaven is a place of realization. Heaven is a place of realization. You know, everything we've read, everything we've taught, everything we've preached, you know what happens in heaven? Our faith becomes sight. We live in hope as children of God because we put our faith in all that the Word of God promises. One day we'll realize that all that God has promised us is real. The Bible says in Romans 8 and verse number 22, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. What that says is, even we groan within ourselves, the pain, the dying, waiting for the adoption, to wit. To wit means that is to say. So waiting for the adoption. That is to say, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. And friend, one day we're going to see everything that we've hoped for in this life, because the Bible says we will. The Lord's going to come back, and everything we've stood for, and everything we've taught, and everything we've preached, and everything we believed is going to be made real. Heaven is a place of realization. Can I say secondly, heaven is a place of rest. Heaven is a place of rest. Aren't you tired of this life? Aren't you tired of sin and the battle with the flesh and the struggle that we have from day to day, and tired of the struggles in life, and there's always something that you're having to deal with, and tired of the heartaches? And I'm glad heaven is a place of rest. The Bible says in Revelation 14 and verse 13, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Oh, friend, there's going to be a day where we finally put our armor down, where we finally leave our griefs and our heartaches and our battles behind, and we're going to heaven, a place of rest. The Bible says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, Paul says in verse 3, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly in the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. And it goes on to talk about troubles and trials, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, how God will deal with the crowd that persecutes us and so forth. And to you who are troubled, he says this in 2 Thessalonians 1:7, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. I like that verse. The song of my soul, since the Lord made me whole, has been the old story so blessed of Jesus who will save whosoever will have a home in the haven of rest. Heaven is a place of realization where we're going to see that everything we stood for, everything we ever believed, is real. Heaven is a place of rest. Won't that be wonderful? Let me say thirdly, heaven is a place of reward. Heaven is a place of reward. I have a fella texturing our house right now. And he's a good guy. Just I've used him several times over the years. Old Larry. Some of you met Larry. Larry wants to have the same conversation with me every time I talk to him. And he pinned me up yesterday for a while. And he says, hey, let me ask you a question. Now, is that church, is that your job? I said, yeah, Larry, it's my job. He said, so, I mean, do you like look at the computer all day? I said, Larry, I do all kinds of stuff. I said, I put a new breaker box in this week. I said, I fix toilets. I said, I study, I counsel, I plan. We have Sunday school classes and bus routes. His next question, so like when them offerings come in, like do you just take them offerings and put them in your bank account? I said, Larry, I wouldn't even have the conversation with him except he had a worker with him. So I gave him about a 15-minute devotion on everything. I said, Larry, I get a paycheck just like you do. And I said, believe it or not, I know you got texture all over your hands. I work just as hard as you do. And listen, and it was just, you just run into that every once in a while. And what I'm saying is, Dad knows this. Preachers face this nonsense all their life. Oh, bless God, because you don't smell like a sewer today. You must not have worked as hard as me. I remind you that Ecclesiastes tells us that much study is a weariness of the flesh. I will take a shovel or a hammer and compete with you any old day. I started to say yesterday, I tell you what, why don't you read that book for me? But we get that stuff all the time. Preachers don't work. You know, they don't work. Just follow us for a little while. Why are we so tired then? Or as Paul told the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians 9, are not ye my work in the Lord? But here's the thing. It doesn't matter really at the end of the day what Larry thinks or what you think or what I think. And by the way, it doesn't really matter if someone saw what you did this week for the cause of Christ, because Christ is the one. He said this in Revelation 22:12. He said, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. You think, well, nobody saw what I did. God saw. Well, no one remembers. That was 10 years ago. God remembers. Hebrews 6:10, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. God knows what you did. Heaven is a place of realization where we're going to walk in and say, it's true, it's true. Everything we believed is true. Heaven is a place of rest. I've been building that little room on the back of our house, and my deck has had lumber on it since the end of April. And about a week ago, we're down to the end now. So I got up there and kind of cleaned up my yard, all the lumber and my deck, and cleaned it. And I thought, there's a swing there. And I sat on that swing, and I'm fidgety anyways. I can't sit anywhere for long, but I sat on that swing for about 10 minutes, and I just enjoyed the breeze. Like, wow, you could just sit here and be normal. I don't know if they have porch swings in heaven, but won't it be wonderful just to finally, there's no more mail to open up, no more phone calls, no more doctor's visits, no more waiting on a test, no more battling with this, no more fixing the roof, no more fixing the sewage, no more kid getting hurt, no more bills. It's just all over with, and we're going to be at rest. Don't feel sorry for that crowd that's already there. Heaven is a place of realization. Heaven is a place of rest. Heaven is a place of reward. Let me give you number four. Heaven is a place of rescue. You see, we not only get to go to heaven, but the flip side is we don't have to go to hell. You know, Revelation chapter 20 tells us that whosoever is not found written in the Lamb's book of life shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. I don't know if you've noticed or not, this virus, it's killing all ages. So you may think, well, I'll tell you what, I'm in my 30s, I'm in my prime, I'm in my 20s, I'm in my prime. I'm a teenager, but I got a lot of years ahead of me, and I got a lot of plans, and I got a lot of thoughts, and I've got a lot of ideas. No, 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 it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this judgment. It could be one of us next, laying in a casket. My question to you is, if that were you today, would you be in heaven? Or would you be in hell? You say, I don't know. You can know. Amen. I don't think you can. Oh, the Bible says you can. Amen. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. If you'll trust Christ and Christ alone as your Savior, heaven is a place of realization. Heaven is a place of rest. Heaven is a place of reward. Heaven is a place of rescue. Two more. Number five, heaven is a place of reunion. Heaven is a place of reunion. I read it to you a moment ago. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Our loved ones who have died, and they've died in the Lord, they've died saved, we're going to see them again. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13 and verse number 12, for now we see through a glass darkly. So we're seeing a little bit, but we don't fully understand how great it's going to be. But then, face to face. Now, I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. He said, preacher, we're really going to know one another in heaven. Let me give you one scriptural example, what Jesus tells his disciples. In Matthew 8 and verse number 11, he says, and I say unto you, that many shall come from the east and from the west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. He called them by their name. Yes, we're going to know one another in heaven. Heaven is a place of reunion. You ever been in an airport waiting on your bags and you see two people reunite? You've just been on maybe a short trip. Brother Jeff, you travel a lot. You've seen that. You see somebody come running out of the gate. I don't think we realize how good it's going to be. You ever seen that soldier come back from the battlefield? You ever seen those videos where mama didn't know he was coming home? Where the son, the daughter, they didn't know he was coming home? And they're standing there at some school, and dad sneaks in behind him, and they turn around, there's dad, or they turn around and there's mom. How great do you think our reunion in heaven is going to be? I know I'm just another preacher in another generation saying I believe Jesus is coming soon, but my goodness, nearly 21 years of pastoring, I can honestly say I've never seen such a struggle to get people to church before. Never seen such a struggle. I had to fight it. I had to fight the desire to just go sit down. You know how I fight it? By knowing that the Bible teaches few there be that find it. The Bible teaches there's a remnant. And God didn't send me to pastor the world. He sent me to pastor his local church, his children, his little lambs. And if there are five of us left in the pew, it's my job to stay faithful till Christ comes back, because He is coming back. Amen. And what a reunion that's going to be. Chase, you had a birthday this week without your grandpa. You may not. It may not be the next birthday before we see Brother Shuford again. I can't wait to walk in one day. Well, I don't know what we're going to look like in heaven. I don't know how we're going to act in heaven. I don't know those things, but I could just, the people that we've lost over the years, I know Kara's going to have her full mind in heaven, but I can still hear her just, you know, walking in. Hey, oh, good grief, you know. I don't know what it's going to be like exactly, but I know we're going to know one another, and I can't wait to walk the street and hear this deep voice of Bill Pope. I can't wait to shake hands with Brother Honey again. Shake hands with Brother Benner. Shake hands with Mrs. Benner. Not trying to leave people out, but friend, listen. Heaven is a great reunion day. It's been a year. Been a year, kids, since Meet Me went to heaven. Time-wise, it would be tomorrow, but date-wise, it'll be Tuesday of this week, Tuesday night, but it was Labor Day last year. It wasn't just a few days later, Alan Snyder left us. I don't have time, and I don't have the patience to use that book as a crutch. I really do believe what it says. I'm not trying to be funny, and I hope I'm not improper here. But if I thought for a second I was just using that for my weak mind, I'd just leave here today, go get drunk. That's what I get. That's what I do. Just forget all the problems. By the way, that's stupid. I believe that book. Amen. And I believe Jesus is coming back. And friend, I believe that our faith is going to be realized in sight. I believe it's going to be a place of rest. I believe it's going to be a place for reward for your faithfulness, a place of rescue. I'm not going to hell. It's going to be a place of reunion. I like that song. There will be a happy meeting in heaven, I know, when we see the many loved ones we've known here below, gathered on the blessed hilltop with hearts all aglow. That will be a glad reunion day. You know what? I have one more, and it's really the most important. Heaven is a place to see our Redeemer. Amen. Heaven is a place to see our Redeemer. John saw Him in Revelation 1 in verse number, I'm going to skip a little for sake of time, but verse 12, he said, I turned to see the voice that spoke with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Heaven is a place where we'll get to see our Redeemer, get to see our Savior. I like that song, Face to Face with Christ My Savior. Face to face, what will it be? When with rapture I behold Him, Jesus Christ who died for me. Only faintly now I see Him, with a darkling veil between. But a blessed day is coming, when His glory shall be seen. What rejoicing in His presence, when are banished grief and pain, when the crooked ways are straightened and the dark things shall be plain. Face to face, O blissful moment, face to face to see and know, face to face with my Redeemer, Jesus Christ, who love me so. I still believe heaven is a wonderful place. I still believe that hell is real and it's a fire and it's a place of torments. And I still believe that we have time right now for people to be saved. You don't have to die and spend an eternity in hell, but you must trust Christ as your Savior. Christians, I don't know what's going to happen next in this world. This place is going crazy. Lift up your heads. Your redemption draweth nigh. You want to leave here saying, it's a bunch of, you go ahead and do that. You go ahead and do that and you'll be burning in hell for eternity. I'm taking God at His word. I believe I'm going to see my Savior one day. I believe I'm going to see my loved ones again one day who died in Christ. And I believe everything I've taught, everything I've preached, everything that I believe one day, wow. He, the pearly gates will open. And it's going to be an amazing thing. Hey, if you're not saved today, be saved. If you're saved, keep your head up. Keep your head up. We say, well, you know, they've been gone 10 years. That ain't nothing in light of eternity. Even so, come Lord Jesus.